Exodus chapter 20, verse number 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. I've given this message the title, Reverencing the Name. Father, I pray this morning, ask your blessings on the reading of your word. I pray, God, that you would help me to be able to preach this message this morning with the power of the Holy Spirit and help every one of us to hear. Open our ears and our eyes so that we may hear the wondrous truths from your word. Open our eyes that we may clearly see what we need to see from your word. And I pray in the name of Jesus, amen. When the week began and I began studying for this message this morning, I knew that we were going to be having communion today. And so, as I do sometimes, I take a break from whatever book I'm studying, whatever subject that we're on, and I deal with communion, the cross, and the blood of Jesus. However, as I stopped and thought about it, I realized that this probably was a very good commandment to study today as we get prepared to go to the Lord's table. And the reason why is because Paul had to write to the Corinthians about their behavior or their misbehavior when it came to the Lord's Supper. And if you go over, and you don't have to, but if you go over into 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you can read where Paul says, I cannot praise you because of the way that you're behaving. When you come to the Lord's table, he said, some of you are coming selfishly. You're getting ahead of other people. Some of you come to the Lord's table drunk. And of course, we know that the book of 1 Corinthians was written to a carnal church, to a church that was not acting very spiritual. There was divisions. There was sexual immorality. There were all kinds of things going on in that church that should not have been going on. I think it's safe to say that the church at Corinth, since they were not treating one another the way they should be treating one another, they were not reverencing God the way they should have been reverencing God. You understand the Ten Commandments divided. The first four, Godward. The others, manward, towards one another. We don't get these first four right, it's going to be impossible for us to get the others right. We got to get our relationship with God where it needs to be first so that we can learn to relate to one another, so that there are not divisions, so that there are not squabbles, so there weren't lawsuits as some were doing there in Corinth. So there's not sexual immorality that no one will stand up and say anything about. We need to get these things straight. Need to get our priorities in line. So, as I said, if we don't get these first few commandments, the ones that relate to God will not follow those that relate to others. So we need to get this right. So let's talk about this third commandment this morning about reverencing the name of God and not taking God's name in vain. The first thing that I'll mention this morning is the meaning of taking his name in vain. What does it mean to take God's name in vain? Now you'll notice what the Lord says there, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God. All right, let's just stop right there for a minute. Lord, in your copy of God's word, you should see that it's all capitals. Okay? That tells you that this is the covenant name of God, Yahweh, or as my Old Testament professor used to say, Yahweh. Some say Jehovah, but it is the name given to the Israelites by which they would know God, that name by which they would know him, his covenant name. When Moses asked God, who shall I say to Pharaoh sent me? Who shall I tell Pharaoh sent me? And he says, you are to tell him, I am that I am. Yahweh sent you. The I am sent you. That describes God as the self-existent one. Yahweh, the self-existent one. In other words, the God who always was and always will be. His covenant name. But then you say it's the Lord God. God is the Hebrew word Elohim. And it is the word that is most used to designate God in the Old Testament. And it refers to the one supreme, faithful, triune God. In other words, using the word Elohim or the description Elohim, he is saying that he is the strong and faithful one. So this is Yahweh, the self-existent one, the one who has always been and always will be. He is the strong and faithful one. God's name is special. Very special. The name of the Lord is holy. It is unlike any other name. The psalmist in Psalm chapter 8, verse 1 says, O Lord Yahweh, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. He says in Psalm 111, verse 9, he has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. It is not a name that is to be on our lips lightly. In fact, scholars tell us that this third commandment was taken so seriously by Israel that at one time, the scribes would not even write the name until they had first taken a bath and changed their clothes. They would use a pen and they would not use that same pen again. And then they tell us after they had written the name, they would take another bath and change clothes again. And I realize what I'm tempted to say. Man, that seems excessive. Who says? Who says that's excessive? What right do I have to say? You ought not to be so excessive in your use of the name. You don't need to be that careful. They understood the name of God to be very, very special, very holy, and not to be used flippantly. He says, you are to not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. The word vain there means empty of content. Another way of saying it, it means void of meaning or to be irreverent. Now, the Septuagint. And Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. It uses a Greek word which describes basically the same thing. To be empty, to be devoid of force, to be lacking in content, to be aimless, or have no real or lasting value. Don't use my name, God says, as if it has no value whatsoever. Don't use my name as if it is absolutely empty. Don't take my name in vain. John Piper, pastor, he wrote this on what it means to take God's name in vain. He said, the idea here is don't empty the name. Don't empty God of his weight and glory. We misuse his name, Piper said, when we speak of God in a way that empties him of his significance. When God's name comes out of my mouth, and if it comes in a careless, flippant way, I'm not even thinking about what I'm saying, then what I am saying is God's name really means nothing. I can just use it however I want to, whenever I want to, in whatever content I want to. I'm emptying the name of its value. I'm emptying the name of God of its glory. Last week, I mentioned in the message about idols that to make an idol and to worship it is to degrade God's character. I would say that to take his name in vain is to do the same thing. You see, in Hebrew thought, a name stood for the nature and character of a person. So to use the Lord's name in a frivolous or thoughtless way was to besmirch his character. It was to consider God as worthless. It is to degrade his character when I use it in a way that shows I do not understand its significance. I believe that it is to show contempt for the Lord when you use his name this way. What do I mean by contempt? Dictionary confines contempt this way. It's a feeling of dislike towards somebody or something considered to be worthless, inferior, or undeserving of respect. Let me just read that one more time. It's a feeling of dislike towards somebody or something considered to be worthless, inferior, or undeserving of respect. And that's what I do. I hold him in contempt when I don't reverence his name. Now, you notice what he says here. The Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Here's what you do. Go to a courtroom. Go to the courtroom downtown, county courthouse. Go in there. First of all, don't show up when the judge tells you you need to show up. And when you come in there and they say, don't bring your cell phone, take your cell phone in there and let it start ringing while the judge. I've been in there when that happened one time. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't mine, but it wasn't pretty. Not sure how they got the phone in there. Maybe it was a computer or something. I can't remember. But anyway, it got the judge's ire. But go in there and act disrespectful. Go in there and act rude. Go in there and talk back to the judge. You will be held in contempt. You know why? Because you did not respect the court. You did not respect the robe. And you will pay for that. And if I disrespect holy, thrice holy God by using his name in a profane way, then I can expect to be punished. Don't use God's name in a profane way. Don't take it in vain. Second of all, let me talk to you about the manner in which his name is taken in vain. I talked to you, first of all, about the meaning of taking his name in vain, the manner. Okay, let me just give you three quick things, okay? And the first one y'all already know, because it's the first thing that comes to people's mind when you're talking about taking God's name in vain. In what way is that? Profanity. It is using God's name in a profane way that damns someone. Okay? I think we all understand that. And God's name should never, ever, ever be used in that context. That is the height of disrespect, to attach God's name to a damnation of someone. Terribly irreverent. Sometimes in anger, or to prove a point, or just to prove how tough someone is, they'll use that wonderful name to do just that. God will not hold that person guiltless that does that. You know, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are fitting, but rather giving of thanks. That's what should come out of our mouth. The giving of thanks, not filthy talking, not foolish talking, not coarse talking, not profanity, not even in humor. Should we take God's name? Now, there's a time for humor. There's a time for laughter. But much of what people engage in today goes far beyond what I believe the Bible allows. Far beyond. And if a person can't do humor without taking God's name in vain and using coarse language, then truth be told, they're really not all that funny. It's sad. Christians today, you and I should not engage in crude humor. That is for the world. That is not for us. And somebody says, well, I like to watch these movies and I like to watch those movies because I enjoy them. Folks, let me tell you something. If you need entertainment, the world's entertainment, Hollywood's entertainment, to find your joy, then you don't know how to abide in Christ. In fact, Leonard Ravenhill used to say, entertainment is the world's substitute for God's joy. You don't need to do that. You don't need to engage in that kind of stuff. Those things that are irreverent, those things that take God's name in vain, God will not hold that person guiltless. But the second way in which it's taken in vain is by dishonesty. Now understand, in the context of the passage that we're reading here, that one way in which God's people took his name in vain was in the taking of oaths in his name and then not fulfilling their vow. Okay? It's not that the oaths in and of themselves were bad, because in the Old Testament, people were told to take oaths, but they were told to take oaths in God's name, not in the name of an idol. Not in the name of some false god. You are to take oaths in my name. Deuteronomy 6:13. You shall fear the Lord your God, and you shall serve him and take oaths in his name. Deuteronomy 10:20. You shall fear the Lord your God, you shall serve him, and to him you shall hold fast and take oaths in his name. We see in the Old Testament that Abraham took an oath. David took an oath in God's name. Even God himself took an oath on certain occasions. That's over in Genesis chapter 22. Even in the New Testament, we see that Jesus emphasized the truth of his words on several occasions when he said, truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say to you. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1, verse 9 said, as God, as my witness. Again, the problem in the Old Testament was not in taking a vow. That was not forbidden. It was commanded. The problem was when they took a vow in God's name and then did not follow through with the vow. That was a major problem. That was taking God's name in vain. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 12 says, and you shall swear by, you shall not, that not's awfully important, and you shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Do not use my name. Do not swear falsely. Do not say you're going to do something in my name and then turn around and do not do it. You have taken my name in vain. You have treated it lightly. You have treated me irreverently. You've used my name and then acted as if I didn't even exist. That's taking his name in vain. The passage in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus' words, Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 through 37 always come up. Let me just read them to you very quickly. Jesus said, again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord, which was true. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king, nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, for whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Again, what Jesus is talking about here is he saying that people of that day, they found a loophole how to get out of keeping your oath. No. Don't swear. Don't take an oath. In God's name, swear by heaven. Swear by earth. Swear by Jerusalem. Or swear by your head. That way, when you broke your oath, when you didn't keep it, which you never intended to keep anyway, because they were hypocrites, they could say, well, no, I hadn't taken God's name in vain because I didn't swear by his name. That's what Jesus is saying. That's what the hypocrites were doing. Again, they'd found a loophole. They'd found a way to get out of it and not sin. Jesus was condemning their flippant, profane, uncalled for, and hypocritical oaths in order to get out of fulfilling their oaths. For the believer, Jesus said, ultimately there, he said, here's what you are to do. Don't swear. But be the kind of person, as the old saying goes, your name is your bond. Be the kind of person that when you say yes, you mean yes. And when you say no, you mean no. And he said, because doing anything else is of the evil one. Don't use God's name dishonestly. Don't swear on a stack of Bibles. Don't use God's name. Don't use your faith. Don't use your Christianity. Don't use those things dishonestly. Be honest in all your dealings. The third manner is by insincerity. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 7:22, or Matthew chapter 7. He said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And he said, some will say to me, Lord, Have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? And have we not done many wonders in your name? But Jesus says, you have practiced lawlessness. In other words, what Jesus is saying is you've used my name as a formula. You've gone around, Lord, Lord, do this and do that. And we've used your name to cast out demons and do all these works. But he said, you've actually practiced lawlessness. Just because you've used my name doesn't mean anything. I don't even know who you are. You're not one of mine. They treated his name in vain. Jesus talked about those who worshiped him in vain in Matthew chapter 15, verse 9. He said, they praise my name, but they're not sincere. There's no reality to their praise. By the way, the same was true in the Old Testament. God said, these people draw near to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They come in my name. They praise my name, but there's no reality to their praise. They're using my name in vain. I'm afraid it happens every Sunday in churches all across this land. People praise the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, God. And there's no reality there. That's taking his name in vain. There's no depth there. God doesn't appreciate it. Today, we sometimes hear people say that, I mean, and I'm telling you, in the 20, almost 25 years that I've been pastoring, I can't tell you how many times I've had people come up to me and say, Brother Steve, I feel like God has led me to do this. I feel like God has led me to do that. And I can't tell you how many times they've never followed through. They have taken God's name in vain. They have attached it to something. They had no intentions of following through. Oh, maybe they did have some intentions to start with. But you've attached the name of Holy God to something. God's leading. God's telling me to do this. God's leading me. And then you don't follow through. And we think that's okay. To attach God's name to any and all things is to misuse it. It is to not reverence God, who is to be treated as holy at all times. It's serious business. God expects us to reverence his name. We do not reverence his name by profanity, by dishonesty, and by insincerity. And let me just throw one. This is not in my notes. This is free. Let me just say carelessly. And what I mean by that is, by using God's name carelessly, this is what I mean. Oh, my God. Oh, Lord. Good God, that is carelessly using God's name. He will not hold us guiltless for doing that. Third and final thing, what I'm going to call the meaningful way to use God's name. The meaningful way to use God's name. Very quickly, Jesus taught that we are to hallow the name of the Lord. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That means we are to treat it with reverence, not in a frivolous manner. Just go back to what I just said. This, oh Lord, oh my God stuff, That should not be a part of our vernacular. We should stop it. Say, man, you're being serious about this, aren't you? No, God is serious about it. Man, I tell you what, if I have to do all this, I'm gonna have to change the way I talk. Bingo. Ding, 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 ding. You get it? You're going to have to change the way you talk. You got to change the way you think. Because you don't want to take God's name in vain. We're to treat it reverently, and we're to treat it gratefully. Okay? Gratefully. For the believer, we are to hallow the name of the Lord our God at all times. But, and I alluded to this just a few minutes ago, but not only the name of the Lord our God, but we also have another name which we must be aware of how we use it, and that is the name of Jesus. There again, oh, Jesus Christ, or Jesus H. Christ. Whoever, where did the H come from anyway? You ever heard that? I've heard people say that. Jesus H. Christ. Why use his name that way? We shouldn't do it. It's wrong. There really is something about the name of Jesus. It is by calling on his name that people are saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. We're going to use Jesus in a derogatory manner, and it is his name, his wonderful name, by which we are saved. His name, by the way, means salvation, doesn't it? There is no other name by which we must be saved. And not only that, it is at the name of Jesus that people are saved. But listen, at the name of Jesus, drunks are made sober, harlots are made pure, addicts are set free, families are put back together, lives are turned upside down, all at the matchless, wonderful name of Jesus. How can we treat it so lightly? It is by the name of Jesus that people are healed. Demons have to flee at the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, our prayers are answered. And today, you and I, as believers, we are representatives of Jesus Christ, who the Bible says in Philippians 2:9 has a name that is above every name. And at his name, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. He is Lord. We should not do anything to treat his name lightly or to cause people to look down on our Savior. If I call myself a Christian, that means I claim to bear the name of Jesus. And when I disobey, when I am selfish and prideful and do things my own way, I am treating his name with the utmost of disrespect. So when I go out, yes, I'm a Christian. That means I need to be careful what I say and what I do, because I represent Jesus, first and foremost. So you see, when we come to the Lord's table, we need to be mindful of this. They weren't mindful of this at Corinth. And guess what? The Bible tells us because of this, some of them were sick, and some of them had even died. What are you saying, Brother Steve? I guess this is what I'm saying, folks. You're living a life that is profaning the name of God. You're not living true to the confession that you say you have. Don't make it worse by partaking of something when you have no idea of the significance of what you're doing. I think it's that serious. I absolutely do. They weren't, and it cost them. And somebody says, well, today, you know, I don't know. Goodness, you know, God doesn't seem like he kills anybody or makes anybody sick because they don't, you know, they come in an unworthy manner. Who says that he doesn't? Who says he doesn't? You can prove that he doesn't? I can't. When we're coming here today, we are coming to celebrate, to memorialize what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done for us. And he is holy, and he is worthy, and he is to be reverenced, and he is to be praised and glorified. Let's not come in an unworthy manner. Let's not come. Now, I know what people say, but Brother Steve, I'm not worthy. No one's worthy. No one's worthy. That's not what he's saying. Folks, we're all sinners saved by grace. None of us are worthy in and of ourselves in an unworthy manner. Don't come when your heart's not right.